This is the official EFL podcast.
Hello and welcome again to the preview show. After a week off, our guests are fit and firing this week, and they are Sky Sports' Don Goodman and Leyton Orient captain Joby McAduff. So the first match we're going to look at this week is Cardiff City v Sheffield Wednesday on Friday night. Don, starting with you, hard to believe that it's after this game will be a quarter of the way through the season. Do Neil Warnock's side have to step it up now? So far they haven't really managed to put a run together, have they?
No, they haven't, and you're right to point out that we are about a quarter of the way through the season, because people say, well, we've only just started, but we are literally a quarter of the way through, and it's a tight league, the Championship, just 3 points between the top nine. So for me, that makes it wide open, and Cardiff sit just below that, and it is probably a slightly slower start than Neil would have wanted from his team. But there have been lots and lots of changes at Cardiff. People going, new players in through the door. He's had some injury problems as well, getting key players on the pitch. So, you know, all in all, I don't think he'll be unduly concerned. And the one thing I've learned to do over the last 20-odd years at this level particularly is never, ever, ever write Neil Warnock off.
No, you certainly shouldn't do that. Joby, what could be a pivotal moment is Sol Bamba, who's expected to return after a long injury layoff. How important is it to have someone who's been so crucial, you know, return to the side after a long breakaway?
Yeah, I think it'll be, you know, pivotal, really, as you said, in terms of getting that presence back, that bit of experience. Obviously, someone who's very much been there and done it, you know, with Cardiff being a real key part of that team that got promoted previously, and then obviously playing games in the Premier League as well. So, you know, we touched on it before. I thought they did really well going out and recruiting Aidan Flint, who I think's a real top defender at that level, alongside Sean Morrison. But I think the goals conceded is something that, you know, Neil Warnock will look at and want to improve. You know, 16 goals against already. His teams are always really hard to beat and, you know, really solid. So I think that's an area that he'd probably be hoping Sol Bamba can come in and help with. You know, what will be really interesting is if there's a little tweak and adjustment to the shape, you know, playing three at the back maybe to accommodate the three of them. So I think that'd be something to look out for moving forward. But, you know, for me, you know, Sol Bamba backing in and around your team is going to strengthen you, that's for sure.
The other thing, guys, isn't it, it's not, you know, they've missed Sol, they've missed Neil Etheridge, who you could argue is one of the best goalkeepers in the league. They've been without Marlon Pack, who was recruited because he gives that solidity. And Danny Ward's only just returned. So if you have a look at that, it's been right through the spine of the team. And you're right, the biggest difference between this and the promotion campaign is the goals that they've conceded. They only conceded 39 in the whole season the last time they were promoted in the Championship. So as Joby's pointed out, they've conceded 16 already, and that's way, way more than Neil Warnock would want. So that is the obvious area with which they have to improve. That as well as away from home. I think at home, you look at the home record, they've been magnificent.
Four
wins and a draw and unbeaten. So defensive, sort the defence out and start picking up more points away from home. And I think you'll find that Cardiff will start working their way up the table.
Yeah, and for Neil Warnock in his press conference, he said his side can do a lot better and that this is probably one of the toughest periods of the season for him. Could that be a bit of mind games, you know, trying to ease the pressure on his players, do you think?
Well, only he knows, but he's the master, isn't he? There aren't many better than mind games than Neil Warnock. But, you know, it is tough because obviously he performed a minor miracle in getting them promoted a couple of seasons ago from the Championship. It was against all the odds and he nearly pulled off one of the biggest miracles. You know, we all lauded Huddersfield the first season that they survived. It would have been on that kind of scale, really, especially when you look at what they went through off the pitch as well. Very, very difficult time. So they have had harder times, you know, but I think it's just a bit of a mind thing to keep his own players focused more than to sort of put the opposition off or lull the opposition into any kind of a false sense of security.
Yeah, Joby, looking at Wednesday now, though, a win would take them top of the league on Friday night if they managed a victory at Cardiff. How much of a statement would that be for the rest of the league if they managed to do that?
Yeah, it's incredible, really, when you look at them in eighth at the moment and a win can take them top. So I think, you know, picking up on Don's point on how tight it is at the top of that table, that just shows it there. And, you know, although we are, you know, fairly early in the season still, You know, anytime you can go top is a massive boost psychologically. I think it just shows everybody around that you're on the right tracks. And, you know, I think particularly for Gary Monk coming in, you know, having a decent start there, it'll be a real little incentive. You know, it's a hard, hard league to predict results and set yourself too many targets too far into the future. But for me, I had a little tool to use them almost game by game. And for me, this is a real important one for them. I say if they can win that game and go top, it just gives them something to really strive for this match. And then it's about maintaining that and seeing if they can continue that run and form.
Yeah, Don, for Gary Monk, how useful will this international break have been, bearing in mind he hasn't had that pre-season? In his press conference, he said it's been like a mini pre-season for them.
Yeah, I think obviously he would have had one or two boys that headed off for international duty. But with the rest, it gives coaches, it's one of the hard parts of being in the Championship, 46 games, so many midweek games that it's often about recovery. And coaches don't get the sort of man hours that they'd like with their players to work on the shape, to work on techniques and so on and so forth. So international breaks in some instances can be really, really good for coaches and managers to really work on the things that they feel that they can improve on in the early part of the season, you know. And I think it's a benchmark. I think it's a good benchmark for both of them, isn't it, really? You know, looking at Sheffield Wednesday, 18 of the 19 points they've picked up have been against teams in the bottom half. You know, they've only managed a point at home against Fulham in the three or four games that they've played against the top half teams. And with Leeds United, Swansea, West Bromwich Albion, they're all on the horizon. And Cardiff represent the first of a real tough run for Gary Monk. So I think over the course of the next few weeks, despite the fact that he's done a brilliant, brilliant job, I think we're going to find out really whether or not Sheffield Wednesday are genuine promotion contenders.
Yeah, find out if they are the real deal or not. Joby, Kadeem Harris coming back to face his former side as well. Neil Warnock's been quite complimentary about him in his press conference. He's played every single game for Sheffield Wednesday this season, so seemingly a crucial character for them. Is there an extra motivation when playing against a side who let you go, especially when it's so fresh, when it's just last summer when he was playing at Cardiff?
Oh, most definitely. I think any player who told you otherwise would be lying. You know, wherever, you know, you end up against a former team, whatever the circumstance of you leaving that club, you always want to, you know, make an impression the next time you play them. And I think the fact that it is so soon after leaving, you know, that is a little bit of extra motivation. It's a strange kind of mindset to be in. There'll be lads that he's really familiar with, you know, players that he trained with every day, socialised with probably outside of football. And it's just about putting that all to one side for one afternoon and going out there and trying to perform. But, you know, I'm glad he's had that run of games. Sometimes it takes that to get your best form out. He seems to have found that at Sheffield Wednesday now, that consistency and that rhythm in his game that only really comes with playing regularly. And, you know, having been out a bit, loaned out a little bit, I'm sure he'll want to find somewhere that he can call home and really sort of make his mark. So, you know, he's been very impressive and, you know, a big part of what they've done so far in the season. And, you know, I'm sure he'll want to carry that on against his former team.
Well, the only manager Sheffield Wednesday boss Gary Monk has faced more often without winning against them than Neil Warnock is Tony Pulis. So suggest his sides can struggle a bit against teams that are well drilled, the old school sort of teams. Now let's move on to the Battle of the Roses, Don. Blackburn taking on Huddersfield. Blackburn were one of the teams tipped to maybe be one of the dark horses for a playoff spot at the start of the season. Have we seen that from them so far?
Yeah, I mean, we've already alluded to the fact that this league is, it's wide open. And for me, I think Leeds United, West Bromwich Albion and Fulham are the three standout teams. And I'd be absolutely shocked if the three of them aren't in the top six. But below that, I think it's absolutely wide open. And I look at Blackburn Rovers, and whilst I wouldn't have probably seen them as an obvious candidate for promotion, I look at their recruitment of the likes of Stuart Downing, Bradley Johnson, Sam Gallagher, Lewis Holtby, and that indicates the real ambition to me from Tony Mowbray and from the owners. So it is wide open, and I think them, along with arguably another 8 to 10 teams, will probably feel that there is a genuine, real opportunity. The one thing I will say is they are going to have to find that little bit more consistency if they are going to be pushing for a top six spot. But other than that, there's no reason why them, along with many, many others, can't be challenging.
Yeah, Joey, second season back in the Championship for Rovers. Should fans be expecting more than just safety, or can expectation like, you know, like that being, you know, a playoff team? Can that be dangerous sometimes for teams like that?
No, I think it's as long as it's realistic expectation, then there's no harm in that at all. You know, you don't want to be a team that's just happy to survive, especially one, you know, with the size and history of Blackburn. And I think coming back up last year, and the main thing really was just to re-establish themselves and stabilise. They did that, you know, with some distance to spare, you know, a pretty comfortable finish in the end for them. Obviously now it's about, you know, can we better that? Can we improve? And that is what everyone at the club should be trying to do. And, you know, as Don's pointed out, they went and did that. They strengthened in the summer. So they will be looking for an improvement on last season for sure. And maybe, again, just come in and being one of those teams that can nick a late playoff place. And I would certainly expect them to be up there in the running as one of those dark horses.
Well, I was going to say, one of the things that has to happen is the home form. You know, the home form is key to any promotion push of any team at any level. You have to have decent home form, and they've won two, drawn two and lost two of the six games that they've played. So for me, this is a big game for Blackburn Rovers. They're at home to Huddersfield Town team. They have struggled, all right, they've won the last couple of games, but Blackburn need to focus on being really, really strong at home, and this represents an opportunity for them.
Yeah, Don, as well, for Adam Armstrong, he's got three goals in his last four games. Amazingly, that's as many as he scored in his previous 31 matches combined. As a striker, how important is it to keep going in a scoring run like that?
Well, Joby will tell you, whether you're a striker, a defender, a goalkeeper, a midfielder, it doesn't really matter. The pivotal thing about getting the best out of yourself as a football player at any level is confidence. And when you're a striker, scoring goals gives you confidence. You know, you bang one in and then you follow it up and then you score again. All of a sudden, you just feel that any chance that comes your way, that you will stick it in the back of the net. And that's what Adam Armstrong has found. He hasn't always probably played in his preferred position, but he's getting the opportunities now. He's getting a regular run in the team, and he's repaying Tony Mowbray with the goals. And, you know, like I say, I think the other end of the pitch is probably more of a concern for Tony in terms of conceding goals. I think they're going to have to tighten up. But when you've got somebody like Adam Armstrong, confident, scoring goals, you've got a chance to win football matches.
Yeah, Joby, whereas we look at Callum Grant, as expected, has been a consistent source of goals for Huddersfield. How vital could he be for them this season? Is there maybe like an over-reliance on him, do you think?
There is, possibly, but, you know, they're worth their weight in goal strikers. Stick the ball in the back of the net. You know, they're very, very hard to come by. And, you know, he's obviously at a stage of his career where he's been able to do that regularly. You know, even going back to, you know, going out at Crawley and getting the goals he did there. Of course, at Charlton, and he's taken that on, and he's done it even at the highest level. You know, when he got the opportunity in the Premier League, you know, he stuck the ball away in a team that was really, really struggling. And even early part of this season, when the team wasn't doing well, you know, he still managed to find the consistency in his own game to get that goal return. You know, six already in 11 games is a, you know, a great return, particularly again for a team that has been struggling. He's really done his part for the team. He's played a slight. I mean, sort of left of a free up front, but he still contributed, still managed to impact the game. And, you know, I'm sure they'll be delighted with the impact he's made so far. And, you know, it'd be really, really key in terms of what they want to achieve for, you know, the rest of the season. And I'm sure having a taste of that Premier League, you know, he'll want to get back there at the earliest opportunity. But the best way of doing that is scoring goals regularly for Huddersfield. And, you know, I think the future will look after itself for him.
And recently, Don, two wins on the bounce now for the Cowleys out of the relegation zone, Huddersfield. When they came in, they said they're in a relegation battle, but should they be aiming higher with some of the players that they've got at their disposal?
Well, I think they came into a broken club, and I say that with the greatest of respect for Huddersfield, because it has been a super period in their history, you know, the last three, 4 years. But the Cowley brothers came in for a reason, and that's because results were going from bad to worse. You know, they got into that losing habit. And, you know, the one thing that the Cowley brothers are renowned for is they do the basic things very, very well. And what they appear to have done is got Huddersfield Town a lot more organised, conceding a lot less chances in games. And actually, if you look at the four games they've had in charge, they've actually scored seven goals in four games, which is pretty good. You know, so, you know, they'll always be a threat. They'll work hard on the set pieces. They'll work hard on plugging the gaps and stopping the opposition opportunities. And if you do those two things and you do the basics well, then it gives you a platform from which to build. So getting back to your question, a relegation battle, as things stand at the moment, they are in a relegation battle, but if they carry on in this vein of form, it won't be long before they're somewhere in the middle and they can start looking a little bit higher. But it is one step at a time. You can't afford to get ahead of yourself. You've got to keep your eye on the ball and make sure that you put clear distance between yourself and those teams below you.
Yeah, Joby, just picking up on that point, though, I know we're a third of the way through the season, but is it too early to write them off from maybe finishing in the playoffs? Is that too ambitious?
Well, it looks a big jump looking at the table now. I'm sure that won't be at the forefront of their minds right at this moment. I think the main priority is getting as far away from, you know, that bottom three as they can, as quick as they can. Again, if they can put together and have a real good couple of months, you know, of a good October, finish it, you know, November, December, turn of the year, that's really the time setting out your real targets. And I think if they can, as Don said, get themselves up, you know, comfortably into mid-table, you know, looking upwards rather than downwards, then it might be something that they look at as a club, you know, with the brothers going in there and identifying maybe one or two transfer targets if they feel it's a realistic, you know, shout of maybe attacking that playoff area for the second half of the season. And I'm sure the club will back them. And, you know, they want to get one or two in that they would recommend themselves. You know, they haven't gone in there and deal with a lot of players that are other managers' players. So it'll be a real interesting second half of the season. But I think for now, their main priority is just getting up that table as quick as they can.
Well, the astonishing stat for Huddersfield is that they've won as many points in their last three league games as they did in their previous 33 league games. So things obviously looking up for the Terriers in recent times. Moving on now, though, Don, to Reading against Preston North End, our featured match from the 3 o'clock kickoffs. We've seen, obviously, this week, sporting director Mark Bowen has taken over as Reading manager. We saw last season that when he did come in as sporting director, there was an upturn in results. Do you think that's the thinking behind this appointment?
I think he's a man that the owners have full confidence in for the job that he's done as a sporting director. He's obviously got a vast amount of experience as an assistant manager and as a player and within the game, being the assistant to Mark Hughes for many, many, many years. So I think after they took the gamble on Jose Gomez and after that, it hasn't quite worked out. I just think they probably see him as a safe pair of hands. And, you know, obviously it's an opportunity that Mark has relished. You know, the Jose Gomez thing, sometimes you bring foreign managers in, it works out well. And everybody hails you as a genius. But there are lots of times where you do that. It is a gamble and it doesn't quite work out. And I think in some respects, Jose Gomez has probably been a fraction unlucky because I think their performances have been better than the results. They probably deserve to have another 4 or 5 points on the board based on performances. But clearly, again, you look at the recruitment in the summer, you look at the ambition of the ownership, and you see a team that are not in the area of the championship that the owners expect them to, and hence the reason for the change.
Yeah, Joby, you look at your former team, do you think because he's already been at the club, that continuity as well, instead of total uncertainty, could be what they're looking for, especially after they've now had, you know, 4 managers in the last 18 months?
Well, if it is, it's completely bucks a trend of the last few years. It's obviously a club that I know very well and keep a real close eye on. And for me, that's been the big issue at Reading over the last few years. It's just too much chopping and changing. And that's throughout the whole club. It's not just playing staff. It's, you know, backroom staff, good people at the club that have left for whatever reason.
Even at the top, Joby, isn't it? It's even the ownership.
Yeah, the ownership.
I mean, exactly. That's so unstabilising, isn't it?
It is, and it filters its way down to the pitch, you know. And for me, it's been no surprise that there has been that inconsistency in the performances and the results, you know. I think so. Maybe that is something they've looked at and thought, right, we don't want another massive change where things are going to get shaken up again. I think Mark Bowen, having been in there, he knows the players, you know, better than any other manager that's going to be coming in because he's there every day. So he will have a clear idea, I think, of what he feels he can do. It's a completely different step for him in terms of the management side of things. Obviously, he's a fantastic track record, you know, as a coach and assistant. And maybe he feels this is the right opportunity for him to go in and make his mark as the main man. So, you know, I, for one, hope, you know, it's an effective change. Certainly, they need some results very quickly because it's a club that's really stalled in recent years. And, you know, as you say, for what they've invested You know, they should be doing a lot better than they are, really. And it's just about trying to get on the same page. It just seems a bit fragmented at the club at the moment, and they just need everyone pulling in the right direction. So maybe they're hoping that appointing someone from within will help give them that sort of direction to move forward in.
Yeah, more often than not, Don, there tends to be an upturn in form when a new manager comes in, or, you know, caretaker gets in charge. Just recently we saw Millwall beat Leeds after Neil Harris left. Do you think that that was also part of the thinking when Reading, you know, sacked Jose Gomez?
I think it probably was, because I think if you're an ownership that hasn't been a part of football in a professional capacity, really, then you probably look from the outside of football looking in. It's almost like a miracle, isn't it? How often managers get sacked and all of a sudden results improve. I mean, nobody can honestly, genuinely give you a definitive reason as to why that is, but it does happen. And it may have been at the back of their mind. I mean, look, like I said, I think the ambition for this club is not at the end of the table that they find themselves. And by making a change this early, and I think that's why October, November, it's silly season, isn't it? Because we're not really that far in, but it's remarkable how many managers go and new managers come in sort of October and November. So I think the thinking probably is that make a change now, get a different voice, different ideas, change, you know, if you get that new manager bounce and you can get a bit of momentum, then you can forge your way up the table. And I think that's one of the reasons as well that the ownership has decided to change so early, probably.
Yeah, I think they also look at other clubs sometimes, Don, would you agree, where they've probably seen Huddersfield have gone and done that, you know, slightly earlier, but they have had that upturn. Yeah. And I think sometimes owners, they make decisions based on what other people are doing. And I think in this instance, I think that's played a part, certainly, you know, and that they want that reaction, I suppose. And they've seen it at other clubs and they're hoping it's going to work at theirs.
It's a tough game, isn't it, for an opener, because Preston are going really well.
Well, let's get on to Preston, Joby. A great start to the season for them. Do you fancy them for promotion based on what we've seen so far?
I think for me at the moment, there'd be an outside bet. It's a start. And at the moment, that's all it is. You know, they've done a brilliant job off the back of a disappointing end to last season, really. Their last sort of 5-6 games didn't go anywhere near as well as they would have. And I think there would have been a few questions coming into this season. But, you know, they've been answered. You know, I think the manager there, he's done a great job in terms of the start they've made. He's got a good track record in terms of his history at Norwich and getting promoted. So he'll know what it takes and what it needs to maintain that run. For me, I look at the other teams in and around that playoff area, and the squads are a lot stronger if you look at, you know, the likes of Leeds and Bristol City, Fulham, who I'd really fancy to remain up there, along with, you know, West Brom and Forest have had a good start as well. And that would be my only concern against Preston, if one or two of those real key players gets injured as the suspensions and injuries start mounting as they do there as you go through November and December. That would be the real test for me and whether they can withstand those and maintain their form.
Yeah, Don, Alex Neil, as Joby mentions, has the experience of promotion from this league before, though. Do you think he's maybe one of the more underrated managers in the division this season? Obviously, at the start of the season, no one really tipping Preston for promotion.
Yeah, you know what? I don't think he's underrated within football circles themselves, you know. I mean, this is a man that turned down West Bromwich Albion to stay at Preston. Now, I'm not being funny. There has to be a reason for that. And I think the reason is that he's been guaranteed the support from the hierarchy of Preston. They clearly came into this season wanting a push at that playoff spot. They finished 14th last season, as Joby's already alluded to. The end of the season, they were right in it. There was only one place up for grabs, and ultimately Derby County managed to secure that in the end. But with 8 games to go, Preston were well and truly in it, but they lost 6 of their last 8 games. So it just petered out. So I think all in all, Alex knew exactly what the reason for that was. He's gone and brought in a lot of experience in David Nugent. He brought a wonderful young player from Coventry, Tom Bayliss, Patrick Bauer. He's nicked from Charlton, who was one of the mainstays of Charlton's. And he's got a very exciting Andre Green on loan from Aston Villa. So, you know what? He's identified areas. He already had a core of really good championship players at his disposal. And you know what? The reason I think he's turned West Bromwich Albion down is because I feel that he felt with a few additions to what was already some good, solid players there, that he could have a real go at promotion, or certainly at least a playoff spot this season. And the way the season started, I think highlights that. But as Joby's alluded to, it is all about how do you cope when players get injured, when suspensions occur. That is the overriding question for Preston North End. But you know what? I spoke about Blackburn earlier in this podcast as being one of the sort of 8 to 10 clubs that might have a half an eye on a playoff spot. Certainly Preston fall into that category.
Yeah, Joby, and one of those players that won't want to be injured or suspended, Daniel Johnson, crucial for Preston, having a hand in 11 goals from midfield so far this season, 3 more than any other player in the division. Could he be the best player in the league, and should Premier League teams be taking note of what he's achieved so far?
Well, it's a big shout to say he's the best player. There's some fantastic players, you know, that we're fortunate to have in the Championship, but certainly he's one of the most informed players. I think his consistency is remarkable, really. You know, he's played a lot of games for Preston, and I spoke about it earlier. But when you find that place, you find that consistency, a real good age now, 27 for me, he's in that prime where every time he goes onto that pitch, he's confident, he knows that his game's clicking in all the right places. And for me, he's had a phenomenal start to the season. You only have to look through his stats previously. I think his best goal scoring record for them is 8. He's already got 7, you know, 4 assists already, you know, from midfield. So, yeah, he's certainly one of the most informed players, and, you know, they'll be needing him to continue that season. And sometimes it takes that, you know, that one player to have a real breakout, outstanding season to propel the club, you know, up the table. And so far, he's certainly done that.
It's been key, Joby, hasn't it? Just getting him further forward, further up the pitch, you know, and I think that's a masterstroke by Alex Neil.
Yeah, well, I think that goes to show, you know, he's identified, as you said, certain little areas, little points, and he's obviously relishing that extra responsibility as well to go and be the difference maker and the game changer. And again, you know, he's in fantastic form, and, you know, long may that continue. I'm sure they're all thinking at Preston.
Yeah, well, Reading have won their last 3 Championship matches against Preston, though, so hope for Joby's former side there, then. Now let's move on to one of your former sides, Don, in Sunderland and their match against Wickham. But we're going to first talk about the big news that's come out today. Phil Parkinson appointed as Sunderland's new manager. Based on what he did at Bolton and the difficulty of the circumstances he faced there, how astute an appointment could this be?
Well, we all hope that it is the most astute appointment, or all of us that love Sunderland Football Club anyway. You know, obviously it's a huge job. I mean, I thought, first and foremost, I have to give my commiserations to Jack Ross. It's horrible when a manager loses his job, and particularly when a manager is like 4 points off an automatic promotion spot and loses his job. And it's simply the expectation levels up there. Some sackings can seem really harsh, and I think this is one of them. Modern football is getting more and more brutal. You only have to cast your mind at how West Bromwich Albion got rid of Darren Moore when they were 4th last season. So it is part and parcel of the game, but he'll be disappointed. I don't think how well Ipswich has done Jack Ross any favours, because if you take Ipswich out of the equation, they're not a million miles away. So on to Parky. I just think the way he handled all the difficulties, all the horrible stuff that was going on off the pitch with incredible dignity and humility, and he backed his players, and he got a tune out of players that weren't getting paid and were in just such a horrible place. I think that tells you everything you need to know about the man. So he's got a proven track record at this level, and this is probably the biggest opportunity of his coaching managerial career. I mean, it's an enormous club. I've already spoke about the weight of expectation being the reason that Jack Ross has been relieved of his duties. Well, you know what? Parky needs to get off to a decent start. Otherwise, it won't be long before he's under pressure. And that's just the nature of the beast when you are, shall we say, the big fish in that little pond of League One, with respect.
Yeah, that brings me on to my next point, Joby. How important will it be for him to get a result in this one as well, to get those Sunderland fans behind him as early as possible?
Yeah, it'll be very important. It's going to be a very difficult match, you know, away to Wickham. We're obviously going very well themselves. So, again, it's that expectation, you know, that Don knows better than probably anyone when it comes to Sunderland. And, you know, they are a massive club, particularly, you know, in League One. And it's just hard to deal with that expectation week to week. And obviously, you know, I completely agree. I think, you know, Jack Ross has been very, very harshly treated there. But again, it's an opportunity now for Parkinson to go in and, I suppose, put his stamp on. And he'll be wanting that first result as soon as possible, just to settle everybody down and, you know, hopefully everyone buy into to what he wants to do. Because, you know, we've seen with other managers, if you don't start well, it can quickly go against you. So a real tough test to start with, you know, and then it's how they back that up with the next game, obviously, against Tranmere, which is at home, which I think is going to be a, you know, a real big one, first home game, you know, and see if we can get off to a good start. So a real interesting one. I think there's real complexities on it when it comes to Sunderland. And, you know, of course, we all want to see them back and, you know, very much punching at the level they should be, but there's a lot of work to do to get there first.
They won't be thinking about Tranmere. They got to be thinking about the Beast, to be fair. Like, yeah, coming their way.
Right.
You know, it is a tough start, isn't it? I mean, Wickham have only lost one game all season, so they're going to be full of confidence. It is a very difficult opener for him. Yeah,
Don, sorry, that's bringing on to my next point there. We know it can be a difficult job being Sunderland manager, of course, having that weight of expectation, as we've talked about. But looking at the table, actually, a win would put them a point behind Wickham, who are currently in second place. So how good of a situation, really, it could that be for Phil Parkinson to take over in these circumstances, potentially?
Well, I honestly think it's the opportunity of a lifetime. It's a little bit like, you know, when you get these enormous clubs like Leeds, you know, the person that gets Leeds back to the Premier League, you know, the person that got Wolves back to the Premier League. So these iconic clubs, the person that gets Sunderland up to the Championship and then on again is going to be immortalised, I promise you, because that is what they live and breathe it up there, and with that comes the expectation and the pressure. So I think it's a magnificent opportunity for Parky and his team. I think it's a job that he'll relish. I think he'll buy into the whole footballing culture up there, you know, how they live and breathe it. You know, my only hope is that it goes well very, very quickly for them, just to get a bit of momentum. But you're right. I think we alluded to it with the Reading scenario after sort of what they've played 11 games. And that's, you know, they've got 30 odd games still to go. So, you know, there's plenty of points to play for. There's plenty of opportunity. And they are still with very, very much within touching distance of a top two finish, and to be honest, that will be the only aim. Phil Parkinson has been brought in with automatic promotion in mind, especially when you bear in mind how they lost to Charlton in the playoff final last season. That's heartbreaking, and it's not something that they will want to go through again.
Do you think it's an example where the expectations just too far though, Don? I mean, you're looking at the table, and you know they're 4 points off automatic promotion with a game in hand, and I just feel that managers are not being given the time and the opportunity to create that stability at a club. And, you know, it's not as if the players are not responding. I mean, if they're 17th, 18th, 19th, then, yeah, you might look at it as we need to make a change. But, you know, it's a long, long, long season. And I just think it's a real risky road that we're going down where you're saying to a manager that, you know, you're 4 points off the top after 11 games or automatic promotion and you're not doing a good enough job.
Joby, I often get asked about why I didn't go into coaching and management. That right there, that's the reason, you know, because you literally don't get the time to build anything meaningful and lasting, really. It has to be instant success. Otherwise, you're out the door. And I hope that that people have looked at the job that Jack Ross has done at Sunderland, because, again, that was a broken football club when he walked through the door. Barely had any players, got them into the playoffs. And, you know, it just... Basically, he stabilised the whole football club along with the ownership that came in and did. So they did the first phase. Of course, they were disappointed not to get promoted last season. You would be, wouldn't you, when you're a club of that stature in that division. But it is modern football. It is getting more and more and more brutal. And that is one of the reasons that I'm happy talking about it rather than doing what they do.
Yeah.
We don't blame you, Don. One man who has been given the time and support during his time in management is Gareth Ainsworth, the second longest serving manager in the EFL. 7 years in charge now at Wickham. He had talks with Sunderland, though, but has stayed put at Wickham. Will he have an extra point to prove in this one, Joby? Obviously, he's doing a terrific job so far at Adams Park.
I wouldn't say he's got an extra point to prove. I think his record speaks for itself. You know, I think Gareth's done an incredible job at Wickham. I think you only have to look at just touching on the point we've just referred to about, you know, how quick people can be to make judgments. You know, he's been in the game, you know, at Wickham now for, you know, a long period. I think he's the second longest serving manager, you know, in the league. And in league football, sorry. And you know, that just shows how well he's done. You know, he's punching well above his weight there. You know, if you take the budget into account and the way the club's run, and for me, he's pretty much working miracles there. You know, not even just with the promotion that they've had, but now to have the club where they are, you know, in League One. And I'm not surprised that he's attracting, you know, a lot of interest throughout the leagues, you know, because he's done an absolutely spectacular job there. And it's a difficult one for him, because I think it's somewhere he probably feels stable and comfortable, and that is not something that comes easily in management, as we've spoken about. So that decision, as and when it comes, is going to be a massive one for Gareth. But again, all he can do is keep doing the wonderful job he's doing at Wickham.
Yeah, certainly doing the business on the pitch so far this season. Both matches between these two sides ended one apiece last season, so expect another tight contest at Adams Park this weekend. Now, finally, onto our game in Skybet League 2, and we're going to focus on Leighton Orient, your trip, Joby, to Grimsby. You've got a new manager who's just come into place this week. You've met with Carl Fletcher today. What's the mood around the club like at the moment, and what are his plans for the club?
Yeah, really good. You know, in terms of the mood, it's obviously Ross announced a few weeks ago, or a couple of weeks ago now, that, you know, he was going to step back down to the coaching. And I think since then, it's about getting the right man. You know, but as the weeks have kind of gone by, we've wanted that to happen. I think it's important to get a new man in, whoever that was going to be, you know, once the board had decided. And you know, we've been waiting a little bit this week to get it all announced, as much as we knew pretty much it was going to happen. So yeah, really good today. We had a meeting, the football staff, you know, the first team coaching staff and technical staff, and you know, someone I know, having played with him previously, you know, very professional. I don't know a lot about his coaching, because that was obviously at Bournemouth, but from the outset, it seems as though he's you know, been very impressed with what people did down there. And you know, he's got a good reference coming from obviously Eddie Howe. You know, it's as good as it gets, you know, a good young, you know, English manager. So yeah, he just wants to be really positive. You know, he wants to play the right way, but he understands that, you know, there are different ways of doing that, you know, in League Two, and it's about being successful as well. And you know, he just sort of painted his picture in terms of what he expects on a day-to-day basis, you know, the standards and the ways that he wants to work. And you know, from our point of view, it's about us backing that up, you know, making sure we implement all the things that he wants to get across to the players. So again, real positive. I know the boys are really looking forward to it, and I know Carl is, having spoken to him today, you know, he's really excited. And you know, we feel we've got the club to a position that it's really ready to get taken on now. And you know, from our point of view, he's the right man to do that.
And Joby as well, how much credit has to go to Ross Embleton, taking over in difficult circumstances, of course, and ended his time in charge with a win last week?
Yeah, we were all desperate to end that time, you know, with a positive result. I, you know, can't speak highly enough of Ross. And, you know, it's a real unenviable position that not just himself, but the club found themselves in, and a real difficult task to take on. But, you know, he stood up and, you know, stuck his hand up and said he'd be willing to take that on. So an enormous amount of credit must go to him. Again, for us, the first aim was just to really try and give the club a bit of stability, in which was, you know, a real dreadful time for everybody. You know, for a long period of time, the football was secondary really to everybody. But obviously, once the season starts, it's about making sure that, you know, we carry on the good work and, you know, giving ourselves a platform to try and work from. And, you know, we feel, based on performances, we should be a little bit better off. You know, there's a bit of learning that's been going on. Some of the lads getting up to a level for the first time, and sometimes it takes that, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 games to get that. And we feel, you know, that kind of culminated in those last three games, you know, that we had, you know, before the announcement was made that the results started coming. And again, for Carl to come into a group of players that have picked up 7 points from 9 is good from his point of view as well. I think he's coming into a group full of confidence and really ready to kick on.
Yeah, and Don, Orient obviously travel, as we mentioned, up to Grimsby this weekend, a long trip for Joby there. They're coming in to the game on the back of back-to-back defeats. How important is it to end a run like that as soon as possible? As we've seen over the international break, as we've talked about on the podcast, managers are vulnerable, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I sincerely hope that Michael Jolly's not vulnerable, given what he did at the end of last season and stabilising them and a fine end to the season. They had a fine start to this season. You know, the fact that they... I think that they'll be disappointed that they've lost against Mansfield, who were still have a bit of a, or have had a bit of a playoff hangover, and Stevenage, who are down towards the bottom. So that's the big disappointments. But they'd just be keen to bounce back. Look, everybody loses, you know, sometimes, and it's about how you react to defeat. You've got to use it as motivation, and you've got to get back on that winning trail as quickly as possible to regain confidence. But as I say, it's a tough game for them. Joby's team, Leighton Orient, are going to arrive massively confident after those wins. And for the neutral, it would be a good game. For Grimsby, if they win, they potentially could sneak into the top seven for Leighton Orient. If they win, they would leapfrog Grimsby. So, you know, there's lots to play for, and it should be a good game.
Well, Leighton Orient have lost just one of their last six trips up to Grimsby in the EFL. That's a good stat for you to hang on to there, Joby, on the long trip up to northeast Lincolnshire. Guys, thanks for your time this week, and both of you have a good weekend.
Cheers, man.
Cheers, thank you.
The official EFL podcast, the best reaction to all the match action, available every week.